It's a day when we celebrate the greatest declaration that the angel announced on that first day when the women went to the empty tomb. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. What a great day to be together, because this is the morning where we celebrate that historical event, that event where Jesus rose from the dead. It's a time where we can rejoice at God's work to deal with our sin, as well as rejoice at the hope of eternal life that we have in him. Jesus has risen from the dead, hasn't he? Death is defeated and Jesus is alive. And on that note, we're going to start this morning by listening to the choir sing a huge declaration of joy that Jesus is our King who reigns forever and ever. Over to the choir. Pray together. Lord God, we do worship you, that you are the King who reigns forever and ever and ever. This is our day where we celebrate your day when you rose from the dead and declare to the universe, I am the King who reigns forever. We worship you this morning, Lord God. We praise you for this chance that we have to worship you together. We ask that you bless us now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, just a few housekeeping notices. The first is we've got, if you're new to us this morning, we've got a welcome, just a keeping in touch a flyer that we'd love you just to leave your details with us. We'll probably just send you a little hello email later on in the week, nothing more than that. But it just gives us an opportunity to touch base and say, do you know, thanks for coming. It's been lovely to see you here this morning. So do look out for those. Grab one at the welcome desk if you haven't got one on your way in. It'd be lovely for you to fill that out for us. The second is we've got a Cafe Blue coming up. That's just a ladies' event where you have a meal together. A speaker tells you a bit about their life story, and you can have a chat about that later on. The event is Who Do You Think You Are? It's an evening with Liz Vellacott at New Lodge Farm on Monday the 22nd of May from 7:30 p.m. The cost is £10. Look out for one of those sheets on the welcome desk as well if you're one of the ladies here and you just that piques your interest. The other is on your desks there are Christianity Explored flyers. We'll find out a bit more about that later, but just take note of those. It's a great event for you to come along to. And also, if you're new to us at the welcome desk on your way in, there are some welcome packs. Those are little sort of A5 packs that just tell you a bit more about who we are, what we're doing, why we're here, where we're going, etc., etc., etc. It's great. If you want to find out a bit more about us, grab one of those packs too. And the last thing to say is, if you've got a nipper in your family and you reckon that they just need a few toys to play with, there's a creche over there. And a load of toys where your children of creche age. If you're my boys, you're not allowed to go there. And you can just play with some toys and just feel part of us, but also know that your children are being well entertained. We're going to stand and sing right now a great song. It talks about this greatest day in history, the first Easter Sunday, when Jesus rose from the dead. Let's stand to sing. The greatest day in history. Death is beaten. You have rescued me. Just a bit of information. Today is going to be led by Dan, Elise, and myself, who are part of the staff team here, and we're going to be just taking us through that great and glorious Easter Sunday morning story and what it means for us. So I'm going to hand over to Elise, and she's going to take us through the first part.
I wonder if you're easily confused, are you? I'm not a sat-nav person, I much prefer a map, but it can be very confusing sometimes, can't it? And sometimes we're going along, we're on holiday, maybe you've had a lovely holiday over Easter and you've been somewhere new and there are strange signs on the road. Have you ever seen this road sign? Casey has, excellent, and so has Ian. Any ideas what that sign means? Zach? Mooses. Is it mooses? Let's see what it says on another sign. Invincible moose, next 5 kilometres. Funny, isn't it? Unless you're driving along that road. Not so funny. Okay, here's another sign. What do you think this means? Watch out, pickpocketers in the cemetery. Well, we're going to have a bit of a competition. We like to see who's more sharp, the girls and boys, or the adults. I was going to say oldies there, but I'm in that category. The adults versus children, okay? We'll have a little competition, see what signs we can recognise and see who's feeling sharp this morning, okay? Well, we've just had a bit of a holiday, so let's go for it. The first one for the children. What do you think this sign says or means? James? Motorway toad crossing. Have you ever seen a motorway toad? 2 lanes of toads. No. What about mother toad is cross? Watch out. Don't mess with it. Who said that? 10 points. You're not a young person, Glenn, but I have to say, that was brilliant. Perfect. Migratory toad crossing. And if you go past Bradmore Green Pond, that sign is up there. Okay, brilliant. This one is for the adults. Okay, this is one of the more recent road signs. So if you passed your test more than 10 years ago, you might not have come across this one. WCARA. What do you think it is? Is it wonky cars attempting Ripley Air? Any adults want to give it a guess? Go on. Yeah. Water channel accident risk ahead. That's very close. I'll tell you what it is. It is water course alongside road ahead, obviously. So obvious, isn't it? Okay, let's go for some everyday symbols, okay? You might not have ever seen road signs or been bothered to look at them. So this next one for the kids. First one to shout out. Thank you, Libby. Batman, that was dead easy. Okay, adults, shout it out. Not this one, next one. It's not as exciting, is it? When you grow up, you've got to know these signs. It's not quite as exciting. They don't do films about BT, do they? Right, kids, the next one. Infinity, well done. Bit of maths in there, okay? Right, adults, what about this one? Come on. Lots of discussion, that's what adults do. Shout it out. Soviet Union, well, it's on the flag, isn't it? It's the sign for communism. Okay, so kids, next one. Recycling, well done. Right, adults, does anyone know what this is? You get extra points for the difficult word if you include the difficult word. Adults, medical alert, is something medical? Can any adults give me the difficult word in it? Is it? No, it's the international medical symbol. And there's a funny other word that I'm not going to try and pronounce. Okay, now, that's the road signs done. You might have been thinking, I never pay attention to road signs, but I'm really good at grammar. Why don't they ever ask us about grammar at Oak Hall Church? I could answer all the questions. Well, this is your round, okay? This is my hopeless round, but this may be your chance to shine. So, children, first of all, okay, what is a homophone? Can anyone tell me? What's a homophone? Any children in the room? Okay. Wait a minute. Can we all listen, please, to the children? Adults, don't get too excited. Brilliant. Perfect definition. Well done there. Woohoo! So it's a word. Here's some examples. Pair and pair. 2 different words, but they sound the same. Fantastic. Well done. Adults, are you ready? I'm only giving you stuff that they would learn in primary school, okay? So don't panic. Okay. What is the meaning of a fronted adverbial phrase? No, seriously, this is what they learn in primary school, so you should know. No teachers allowed. No teachers allowed to say this. Come on, adults. What is a fronted adverbial phrase? Should we ask the teacher? Okay. Wendy? Okay, so we start a sentence with an adverb, and it's a phrase that goes at the start of a sentence to describe a verb, is what I got on the... Yeah. Okay, so before the sun came up, he ate his breakfast. That's a fronted adverbial phrase. Did we know that, adults? Well, if you've been revising for your Key Stage 2 SATs exams, you did know that, believe it or not. Okay, children, what is... a subordinate clause? Zach, do you know? Okay, shh. Perfect. Did you all hear that? A phrase that doesn't make sense on its own, it has to have a complete sentence to make sense of it. So the girl who had long blonde hair stood at the window. Okay? So the subordinate clause is... Perfect. Who had long blonde hair? Or the other one, if you want to put that one. Okay, so that's brilliant. And finally, adults, what is a... This was in my son's homework, and I hadn't a clue what this was. A determiner. Adults, tell us, what is a determiner and why do they have to call it a determiner anyway? Because it's just a little word. Any adults know? Should we have to ask the children to find out? I think we do, don't we? Nath, what's a determiner? Noah, help him. Okay, so the technical term is a word such as an article or a possessive adjective or other adjective that typically causes comes at the start of noun phrases. For example, it was an excellent film. Do you like my new shirt? Let's buy some eggs. So those are determiners. I know. I feel exactly the same as you, John. Why? Why? But do you know... our world is full of signs and symbols, isn't it? Aren't they? And some of them are more meaningful to some of us than others. To Key Stage 2 SATs students in year 6, they're learning all these complicated grammatical terms. And believe it or not, those will help them to pass their exams. So they're useful to them. But to us, really, we don't care. We don't really care at all, do we? The moose sign is just funny to us. On the road, if you're driving along, you might want to change your route and go a different route if you saw that extreme moose sign. So different signs mean different things to us at different times, don't they? But this morning, we're going to look at two signs that God gave us that still mean all that they meant when they first appeared 2,000 years ago. And they're the two signs that we've come to associate with Easter. The first is the cross, and the second is the empty tomb. And for the rest of our service this morning, we're going to look at these two signs and what they mean for Christians today. And Zach and Noah are just going to come up now and read our first passage from the Bible. If you've got Bibles with you, it's Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. And they're going to come and read that to us. And following their reading, we're going to stand and sing together, "See What a Morning."
So it's page 1132 in the church Bible.
You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die.
But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Thank you.
do be seated. Well, we're going to watch a short video now, and it's just going to tell us what people, random people, are walking on the street and their views and their opinions on what they think love is.
Love.
How would I describe love?
Oh, wow. I think it's very difficult to describe love because it's not a thing you can touch.
Perfect time to ask.
Oh, it's a feeling inside when you're feeling happier and everything feels great.
Many, many things. Intensity, connection, patience.
Take off soul when you are happy.
Feeling good.
When you're ready to give your all.
Love is when you cannot sleep at night. Love is when you always smile every day, every minute of your time.
I think it's just seeing a bunch of commonalities between two people and then just growing on it.
And making the other more important than yourself.
They feel the same way for each other.
Together, it's like oneness.
From my experience, love makes me better, makes me a better person.
Past 25 years, I've been married to my wife.
All of us had some bad experience with love.
In my case, I guess my being some bit a bit of a compatibility issue more than anything.
I just fell in love twice, but one was bad and another is being good.
Yeah, we met in a plane 2 years ago.
Oh, really?
3 years ago. Yeah.
Here in the sky around Sydney, and we just arrived this morning.
I guess meeting people and you just see whether you're compatible or not.
Try to do as much as I can for the people that I love.
For my wife, I hug her, kiss her, show my affection to her. That's love every day.
Sometimes doing crazy things.
Little gestures, like words, a smile, like little glimpse in the eyes.
They finally want to give up things that they don't want to give up before, but they finally give it up.
Go to cinema, watch a movie that you really don't like it.
Just by being a genuine person.
I think that is the basic step of love.
Go. We won't watch that one again. But what this video does show us, isn't it, that love is a hard thing for us to define. You know, everyone on that video had different views, different opinions on what love means to them. And love is expressed in so many different ways, isn't it? And, you know, I think some of the best ways that love is expressed, I think, is when you see it in the marriage proposal. And there are some great stories of how men have proposed. You know, you get those ones where they are standing in front of a huge stadium, in front of thousands of people, and ask the question. Or they hire a plane and write the question in the sky. Or there was one guy that I heard of, and he spent 4 years creating a video, lip-syncing, singing to 500 Miles by the Proclaimers in 27 different countries for his proposal, because he knew on the second date that he was going to marry her. Isn't that sweet? It's sweet, isn't it? There we go. Maybe you think about it. It's all very sweet. And what we all think of big demonstrations of love. But this morning, I want us to see something really exciting about how the Bible shows us how God demonstrates his love to us through the sign of the cross. You see, what I love about this passage that we've just read out is it tells us that God loved us, not just because we loved him, but actually while we were rebelling against, while we were turning away from him, he still loved us. You know, the Bible tells us that we have a problem that's within all of our hearts. It's that we don't want to do
anything with God. We don't want to know him. We don't want to talk to him. We don't want to listen to him. We certainly don't want to obey him. And you know, that problem is what the Bible calls sin. Sin, in short, means shove off God. I'm in charge. No to your rules. And because of that, that only leads to our relationship with God being cut off. God looks at us, he's angry for the way that we've treated him. We're guilty for the way that we've lived. There are no excuses that we can say. We can only expect God to judge us for what we've done. We deserve his punishment. What the Bible says is hell. It's a serious, serious situation. And then this little passage we've read out, it shows us the result, that we are powerless to do anything about it. We can't work our way out of it. We can't try hard enough to resolve it. No amount of good deeds, good things, serving in the community will ever be able to pay for our own sin. And so we're left in a pretty horrendous situation. Our relationship with God is so bad. It's so far apart. Now, to end there would be a disaster. You might be thinking, why on earth do we sing? Why do we wake up early on a Sunday morning to come here together as a church? If this is the situation, if there is no way out. But you see, we do sing. And we do come to church on Sunday morning. Because there is the most incredible news this morning. Let's read our passage again. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, while we ignored God, not wanting to know him, not wanting to listen to him, God made the move to us first. You know, at Christmas, if you can remember back then, we celebrate and we remember how Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And you know, one of the other names that is given to Jesus is Emmanuel. And that means God with us. God has stepped into our world, becoming a man, so that he could rescue us. And the Bible says that he rescues us by dying for us. And maybe you think, well, why would he rescue us by dying for us? How does he rescue us through that? But you see, imagine this is us. And above is God. You see, we're made for relationship with God. We're made to know him. We're made to trust him. We're made to be in that relationship. But take this book. Imagine this is a record of everything we have done wrong. Every time that we told God to shove off, all of the attitudes within our hearts are written in here. All of our thoughts, the good, the bad, the ugly, it's all in here. You see, what that becomes is it becomes a barrier between us and God. We're cut off from the relationship with him. But you see, this is the incredible news this morning, is that Jesus, what he does on the cross, he demonstrates his love. He takes all of our sin, all of our guilt, all of it, not a bit left. He takes all of it. And he takes it upon himself. And he takes the punishment. He takes the punishment that we deserve. And so we're here, we're left forgiven. We're able to be in a relationship with God that we were once cut off from, because Jesus has taken our sin and our punishment. Now that is how the Bible says that God demonstrates his love for us. Isn't that incredible? God shows his love for us through Jesus dying on the cross. He takes our sin, our shame upon himself. The cross, you could say. The cross means, I love you. The cross means, I love you. This love that God shows to us, it's not a passive love. It's not a love that doesn't mean anything. It's an intentional love. It's a sacrificial love. A love that doesn't just make a video or hire a plane to go and write something in the sky, but a love that shows itself through the greatest act, by going through incredible pain, incredible suffering, taking our sin, our shame in our place. Do you know, in the book of 1 John, chapter 4, verse 10, it says this, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." This is love. Well, hopefully this morning, I hope we've seen how when it comes to demonstrations of love, God has shown his love for us in a bigger, in a better way than we could ever imagine. Even when we didn't love him, he still came down to rescue us on the cross. That is love. That is the love he has for us this morning. Well, I'm going to invite Carl and Rebecca to come and pray for us now as we continue our service together.
Let's pray together. Dear loving Heavenly Father, on this Easter day, we worship and praise you for your sacrifice upon the cross. Today, we remember your victory over death, taking the punishment for all our wrongdoing, and are amazed that you loved us so much that you were prepared to die for us. Thank you that you endured the cross for our freedom, and help us to remember that when Satan tempts us to despair, that the victory is already won. We think of our brothers and sisters around the world today who will be meeting to celebrate your resurrection, and acknowledge that they may not be as fortunate as we are to meet in such freedom. We pray for your strength and courage as they meet, and ask that you would bless their meetings and keep them safe, we pray. We pray for our world, which is in such need of your love, grace and compassion. We pray for our world leaders, grant them wisdom as they govern. May they seek your decisions. May they seek you in the decisions they make. Help us to pray for our leaders so that they may know your will. We know that you are sovereign, Lord, and reign over all the earth, and that nothing happens that you have not already planned. We thank you and praise you for those from this church who've gone out into the world to serve you and spread the gospel. We particularly pray for Steve in Honduras and ask that you will continue to use him and uphold him over the coming months as his time over there draws to an end. We particularly ask that you provide him with more schools work as he seeks to share your gospel with the children he teaches and the families he visits. May they see your love shining through him, and may he inspire them to seek you for themselves. We think of Steph as she has been serving you with YWAM, reaching the remote villages and peoples of Papua New Guinea. We thank you for the blessing she has been on that team in practical and spiritual ways. We pray that as she returns to the UK to continue further studies, that this time will be both fruitful and beneficial for her future service. We thank you that she'll be able to spend time with her family and her new granddaughter while she's back in the UK. We thank you for the safe arrival of baby Ruby to Nate and Kiri, and pray for your blessing on that family over the coming weeks, months and years as they adjust to parenthood and family life. May they rely on you and teach Ruby of your love and grace. May that family be a blessing wherever they serve you.
We lift up before you those in our fellowship who are unwell, and ask that you will provide comfort and healing that only you can give. We pray for those in hospital or recovering from operations, and ask that you will give them your peace and your strength. We thank you for your provision of a site on which we can build a new church building. We praise you that all the obstacles have been removed and building works can commence in the next few weeks. We ask that this building may be a beacon of your love, shining out in this town, and through it many will come to know you. We are all in need of your guidance and direction in our lives, Help us to listen to your voice. We praise you here this morning, and we worship your holy name. Amen.
Well, we're going to sing a song now that echoes all that Dan has just said about the power of Jesus to take away our sin. Let's stand together and say and sing, "Who breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger? It's the King of glory, the King above all kings." Let's stand together and sing of Jesus. Do take a seat. Now, there are some colouring sheets for boys and girls. If you want to start those or carry on, do feel free to do that. I just thought a bit of a spoiler alert for you. At the door, I'm going to have a basket of mini eggs. If you want to bring your colouring in to show me, I might give you a mini egg if it's good enough. So there we go. Anyway, so boys and girls, we've seen that the cross is a powerful sign of God's love for us. Dan said it. when we see the cross, when Christians look at the cross, we're reminded of how Jesus took God's punishment for our sins away from us. Jesus willingly endured hell on the cross so that we don't have to. But you know, Easter is not just about the cross. We also celebrate the rest of the story that comes after Jesus' death. Because Jesus' death is not the end. In the book of Luke, in our Bibles, we're told that Jesus' body was taken down on that Friday evening that he died, and it was placed in a tomb. Now, a tomb is just a simple cave carved out of a rocky hillside where people bury their loved ones. And then a massive stone was rolled across the entrance to that tomb. And it sealed that tomb. It said, no one's coming out of here, no one's going in here. Because there are some people actually around Jesus' time who are scared that Jesus would actually rise from the dead. But the disciples didn't think it would happen. The disciples were convinced that that was the end. They went to bed that Friday night thinking, that's the end. They woke up that Saturday morning feeling deeply, 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 deeply disappointed. Because all they had hoped for in the person of Jesus had come crashing down. He had been brutally murdered. He had been put in a tomb. And that was, according to them, the end of it. But on the morning of that first Easter day, the third day, the Sunday morning, something really amazing happened. Let me read to you what Luke says about it. On the first day of the week, very early on in the morning, some women took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were still wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. The tomb was empty. And it wasn't that his body had been nicked. Jesus had risen from the dead. You see, a few hours after that, people were starting to say lots of things about Jesus. And lots of reports began to trickle into those disciples, to those disciples. And those reports all said the same thing. They said Jesus was alive. They said he was talking. He was eating. He was even teaching them about the Bible. And then the disciples, as they were thinking about all these things and wondering and being very confused about it, Jesus appeared amongst them. And he showed the disciples that he is still alive. He showed them the nail marks in his hands. He showed them the place in his side where the soldier's spear had pierced his body. And so convincing was Jesus' proof that even the most skeptical of his disciples, even the ones who said they would not believe unless there was utterly unchallengeable, unequivocal proof that Jesus was alive, they even bowed down before the risen Jesus and declared him Lord and God of this universe. Do you know, the cross is a great way of saying that God loves us. It's a great sign that says God loves us and has forgiven us. But in a minute, we're going to see what the empty tomb means. And we're going to ask ourselves, if we have been given the sign of the cross, that is God's great demonstration of his love for us, what does the sign of the empty tomb mean? Before we do that, though, the choir are going to sing another song for us. It's simply called Risen, but it's a wonderful song about the glory of the risen Lord Jesus. So we're going to stay seated. I'm going to hand over to the choir. Brilliant. So we're going to have our second reading, and Jasmine's going to read that for us now.
Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we will boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received now reconciliation.
Thanks, Jasmine. Well, now, boys and girls, there are two quite difficult words that need explaining there. The first is justified. Can we all say justified with me? Justified. Okay, once again, let's work it. Come on. Justified. I used to be a teacher. Can you tell? Justified. The other is reconciled. All together? Reconciled. Brilliant. So justified and reconciled. I'm just going to explain those very quickly. And to help us understand that, I had an Easter egg here. Has anyone nicked my Easter egg? Libby, I'm not sure you do have it, darling. Dan and Elise, you were the last people up here, weren't you? Right, come on, up both of you, up here, come on. See, that's my teacher tone, can you tell? You stand accused of stealing my Easter egg, both of you. Empty your pockets, come on. It's not what it looks like. It is what it looks like, Dan. You've nicked my Easter egg, haven't you? There's even the chocolate. It was an Oreo dairy milk Easter egg. You stole my Easter egg. Now, Elise, I'm sorry I dragged you up here. You are justified because your claim was you didn't steal my Easter egg. You've proven that. Actually, there's no wrong between us. You're justified. Thank you very much. There's no wrong. You can go and sit down. But Dan... guilty as charged. There are certain things that are unforgivable, and stealing Easter eggs is one of them. Boys and girls, can you see what happened there? Elise was justified. She was justified because there's no wrong between us. All accusations that I had against her were destroyed. She was proved right. She's justified. Dan is guilty, on the other hand. So can anyone remember... Can anyone tell me what reconciled means? Can anyone have a go at what reconciled means? Guilty? Death? I like that. reconciled means when two people who were once enemies now become friends. Can anyone think of how Dan can become my friend? Zach? If he gives me a bigger one. I was going for saying sorry, actually.
I'm sorry, Phil.
Dan said sorry, guys. Dan, I forgive you. Man hug. A man hug always involves a back slap. Now that means, wait, people who were once enemies. Dan and I were once enemies. Thanks, Dan. Dan and I were once enemies, but we're reconciled. We are now friends. Reconciled means that two enemies are now friends. And you know, what Jesus does on the cross, that verse tells us exactly that's what the work of Jesus on the cross. Jesus justifies us before God. God declares us justified. There's no wrong between us and God on the cross. And he declares us reconciled. Jesus makes us friends with God. But there's an even greater thing that these verses tell us. An even greater truth about the resurrection. And we find it in verse 10 of our passage. It says this, "For while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?" That word life literally means through his resurrection. You see, Jesus had come back back to life again. And he had to do that because otherwise he would be a liar. Right through the last 3 years of his life, he was saying, guys, I'm going to die, but I will rise again after 3 days. He had to rise again because otherwise he would be powerless in the face of death. What kind of God would he be, saying, I am God of the universe, but I'm powerless in the face of death? Jesus had to rise again to prove to the world that he is who he claims to be and able to do what he claims to do. Jesus had to rise again to show the world that he is king over this world and king even over death. And as that tomb stood empty on the first Easter Sunday, it meant Jesus is the way, is the truth, is the life. And all who trust in him will rise again. That's what the sign of the empty tomb means to us this morning. It's that great sign that Jesus is God. And that's what this verse tells us. See, a few minutes ago, Dan showed us that Jesus deals with that record of our wrong. That record of our wrong. Jesus deals with it. And he takes it on himself. He takes our sin on the cross and he dies our death so that we don't have to. And as we believe that, God sees it as though we have been united with Jesus in his death. Putting it crudely, we piggyback on all the benefits of Jesus' death. That's what it means. to be united with Jesus in his death? Because he pays all our debt. He cancels all our record. And it means that we can have a right relationship with God. We are justified and reconciled. That says God loves us, but here's the coolest thing. Jesus died to take away our sin, and then he rises again. And because we're united with Jesus in his death, we're also united with Jesus in his resurrection. We piggyback on all the benefits of his resurrection too. And at this point, those words, how much more, means so much to us. Because they mean that God loves us so much that he's willing to die for us, but he loves us so much that he's willing to rise again for us. And in his resurrection, it means we are resurrected too. We will have eternal life because he has eternal life. We are forgiven because he has died. We will be raised from the dead because he has risen from the dead. That's what the empty tomb means for Christians this morning. We piggyback on the benefits of his death, but we piggyback on the benefits of his resurrection. The empty tomb is the greatest love story ever told, because the empty tomb says to Christians this morning, I love you. I love you. So this morning, we can rejoice, can't we? And we can immerse ourselves in the love of God that he's lavished upon us. We are his children, and we will be his children forever and ever and ever. Christians this morning are utterly forgiven, and we have this perfect, wonderful hope that we will see Jesus face to face. That will be the high point of eternity, when Jesus comes to reign on this world and we see the marks of the nails in his hand. We see the marks of the spear in his side, but we see his eyes, his beautiful eyes, and he welcomes us into his kingdom, and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Jesus has died our death. He's come back to life, and he gives all those who trust in him eternal life. Now, it might be this morning that you've never heard this message before or never seen it like that before. Well, can I invite you to explore it further? And you can respond in a number of ways. This morning, really simply, the most wonderful response is for you to say, do you know, I get it now. I get it. I trust in Jesus to take away my sin and to give me eternal life. And that might be appropriate if you've realized that and you want to respond in that way this morning. Do chat to me or Dan or Elise. Do. We'll explain a bit further and we can pray with you. You can talk to Jesus this morning and ask him to be your king. On the other hand, you might want to find out more. And there are a couple of ways to do it. The first involves coffee. If you've been here any time, any length of time, you know that everything involves coffee in my life. But if you've come with a friend, well, let me invite you on behalf of your friend to have a coffee together. Your friend is buying, by the way. And together you can read Jesus' biography. It's found in the Bible, but it's quite cool. It looks like this. So it doesn't look like a big black Bible. It's quite an easy read. On the inside, the words are big, my kind of words. Not long, but big. Big type. So it's a quick read. It takes about 20 minutes to read each section of Jesus' biography. And you can do that quite easily over a coffee in a cafe. If you want to do that with me, I'm happy to read the Bible with you. Really am. I'll take you out for a coffee. I'll be buying, and you can do that with me. The other response really involves a meal. Again, love it. I love, you know, the way we do coffee and meals together. The Christianity Explored, those are the flyers on your table. That's just a discussion group that you can join. It starts with a meal. It's followed by a short DVD clip. And after that, there's a time to chat it over. You can come with any question. We're not going to laugh at you. Do just use it as a time to explore this person of Jesus who has died and risen again. And there are a number of people already coming. If you want to join, just do fill out the back of the card, put your details on the back of the card and give it to the person at the welcome desk. But let me finish on this wonderful truth this Easter Sunday. Jesus loves us. That's the truth of it. Jesus loves us. Deeply and passionately. He loves us to death. He died. He loves us to eternal life. And he wants to give that to us this morning, if we're willing to accept that as his free gift. And that's what we celebrate this Easter Sunday. It's been a joyful Easter Sunday. It's been wonderful to have the choir here. It's been wonderful to celebrate together, hasn't it? The wonderful news, Jesus is alive. And his resurrection has eternal consequences for us all. We're going to stand together and echo those wonderful words of the angel. He is not here, he is risen. And the song that we're going to sing is Christ the Lord is risen today. There are it's a bit of a new arrangement, but the verses are the old tune. So if you know the old tune, it's a traditional hymn. Then you'll be able to sing it confidently. The choir are going to fill in the bits. Technical language, I know. But we're going to stand. Our last hymn this morning is a great declaration. Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Sons of men and angels say, hallelujah. Raise your joys and your triumphs high. Sing ye heavens and earth reply, hallelujah. Let's stand and sing. Christ the Lord is risen today.
Oh,
Let's pray together to finish. Lord God, we worship you that you are the God who comes into this world to die to take away our sin, so that we might be reconciled to God, that we might stand justified before you because of the Lord Jesus Christ, and full of hope because he has risen from the dead. Lord God, we pray that by your grace, by your mercy, because of your Holy Spirit in us, we would rejoice, and rejoice all the more as we see the day of Christ coming to this world come sooner. Lord, that we would be filled with a wonderful, wonderful assurance that because Jesus has risen from the dead, we too shall rise from the dead. We praise you, Lord God. We stand before you forgiven. We stand before you as your friends. We stand before you full of hope and anticipation of eternal life that Jesus has given us. We thank you for these two symbols: the cross, which says, I love you; the empty tomb, which says, how much more I love you. Lord God, may we fill our hearts with joy this morning. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, please do take a seat. If you've not already had one, and even if you have already had one, there's coffee served to my left. Do feel free to get up, wander around, have a coffee, chat to the person and people on your table. Thank you for joining us here this Easter morning.